This is Voice Notes to Friends.
Welcome to the actual first episode of Voice Notes to Friends. We're so excited. We really are. I mean, we've been talking about this since forever. Not since forever. Actually, you have the date, right? When we started talking about this?
Yeah.
Since before quarantine.
I mean, yeah, since before quarantine, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. And then...
October. I'm going to say October, but I'm pretty sure before that.
Yeah, I think October is when... And this will be on another episode, but October is when something happened that triggered. We were like, we need to put this in an episode. And I think we'll have an episode on that for sure, because it is really funny and quite interesting. But yeah, anyways, I'm excited. It's a great topic, so I'm happy to talk about it like 500 times. Not that we recorded 500 times, but yeah. Anyways, first episode is going to be about identity, which is kind of ironic just because we're not going to reveal our identities for now. We might change our minds later, but for now, we've chosen to stay anonymous just because me personally, I don't feel 100% comfortable discussing or putting my opinions out there on such a public forum while revealing my identity, just because we're going to cover a few topics that are a little bit sensitive in the region where we're
taboo,
from.
If you will.
Taboo. Yeah, exactly. People that know me will probably know that this is me, like people that know me well. So just disclaimer, she's T, I'm F, and that's it for now, basically. And jump right in. So T, what does identity mean to you? How do you define it?
So this topic and the definition are things that I've considered for the longest time. And people who know me know that this is a topic that I feel very strongly about, and I love discussing it. But retrospectively, I started considering this since I was the only Arab kid in my school when I was in the States, but I was in kindergarten. I was like 5. So it wasn't like, oh, identity in like this philosophical sense. It was just like, wait, بس أنا شكلي غير أنا مين كده يعني, just very basic 5-year-old thoughts. But I really started obsessing over it when I came back to Saudi after living abroad for so many years. And then coming back, it was like counterculture shock and not feeling like I really belong. And I'm just an alien. I'm not really accepted. You know, how much do I assimilate to Kidani? It was just like a lot. Hina and Saudi being half, Bordo, you're still not fully accepted. And then going to Egypt, you're more accepted. But Bordo, lissa fi haga kida, that's a barrier. Like I read a book about it called On Identity. It's by Amin Maalouf. And I highly recommend this book, because he also goes into like the notion of us versus them and then how this can potentially breed violence. So this is also something that we're seeing today. It's very relevant. So it's like the most extreme, like Daesh, you know, ISIS or whatever they they're calling themselves now, to like Black Lives Matter. And then other things like, you know, مثلا بس دول مش زينا فما يدخلوش المكان ده زي مثلا مخدرات ممنوع يدخلوا اماكن في مصر, you know, مش زينا
100%.
So you see on so many different levels, if you're just like so aware and vigilant of these things, it's all about identity. So Amin Maalouf talks about that. And I liked his definition. It really resonated with me. And so what I'm going to say now is like a mashup of what he thinks and what I think. Mm-hmm. So he says that identity is basically how you relate to yourself and to others. And it's a complex network of allegiances. Also what he calls the genes of the soul. And these allegiances include but aren't limited to مثلا, race, nationality, religion, class, what have you. It's literally unlimited. Even people identifying with their horoscopes, you know.
Football team.
Potentially, football team. Whatever. It's completely unlimited and endless. But at the end of the day, even though we're made of all these little components, we experience identity as a whole, right? I'm like this whole person. So it's like, I like saying that it's like you're a quilt made of different patches, but you have different patches, but you just experience the quilt as like one big blanket, right? And then he goes into differentiating between horizontal and vertical identity. So vertical identity would be whatever you inherit from your parents and from DNA and cultural norms, sex, religion, for the most part, race, حاجاتي that you typically just, you know, absorb or just take from, you know, from your genes or the environment that you're in. And then horizontal is the times that you're living in now, your current environment, your peers, This is like gender, right? Not sex, it's gender. Haget kida, that's just what you get from being, from living now and from your friends and what you think now, not based on like history and what you inherited. And sometimes that can be stronger, right? And so basically it's very complex. Mm-hmm. Okay, we can all agree identity is very complex. You like saying that it's fluid, and I agree, it's a process. And once we accept that it's so complex, we can just accept that in others, and we can begin to accept others because it's like, oh, it's just you're made of different components and adi, you know, adi if you don't know who you are right now. And who you are right now shouldn't be who you think you were like 5 years ago, right? That means you didn't change at all, and that's not, you didn't develop or progress or anything like that, in my opinion. And the more allegiances you have, right, the more people you can relate to, you just have more in common with other people. But also the more allegiances you have, the more unique you are, right? It's like a fingerprint. Literally. You all have a fingerprint, but كل واحد غير يعني. So the same configuration isn't found in another person, right? And there's no hierarchy to them, but of course the context or where you are matters, right? So مثلا being black in Nigeria is not the same as being black in the US, or being Muslim in Saudi is not the same as being Muslim in China, right? So it's experienced differently. And that's something interesting to keep in mind. So depending on where you are, certain allegiance will come out, right? Like, no, I'm Muslim and I have to like show that I'm Muslim or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's like a real, I guess, point of confusion for a lot of people. And it definitely has been for me in the past before I kind of came to this conclusion, is that, you know, I think I'm being fake or something when I change who I am, or like a certain part of me comes out more when I'm around different people. I used to, when I was a bit younger, I used to think like, oh, I'm so fake. Like, who am I really? And it's like, I'm all of these people. I am all versions of myself is still me. But like, if I'm talking to you, or if I'm here talking about this now, it's, I'm not bringing like, you know, my professional corporate self to this podcast. And that's fine. It doesn't mean I'm being fake. It's just about context. Which brings me, I guess, to how I think about identity, which is, I would say, a lot less structured than like yours and Amin's definition of it.
When did you start thinking about it?
Not until
about the idea.
Yeah, not until very recently. I think like I'm very like introspective, but like only backwards can I look and be like, oh yeah, I was thinking about it. And I think I've been thinking about it like implicitly for a very long time, but explicitly not until very recently have I felt this need to like define myself relative to other people. Only very recently I've started thinking about it, but again, I haven't really reached a conclusion, I would say. My conclusion is just that it's very fluid. And I could be someone today, or just right now, like you said, and 5 minutes later, kind of, I'm just a different person, depending on the context. And I could just have like an epiphany, you know, like sometimes someone says something, like one word, and you're like, oh my God, I never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm. And it's so, so, so important, especially in this day and age. And I think we'll go into this on another episode, but like cancel culture and that kind of, it's like, fine. Like, you learn and you know better and you do better. You don't, exactly. You know, we're human after all. Like no one has a handbook. Yeah, exactly. And no one has a handbook on what to do. Of course, you know, don't go away like hurting people and be like, oh, I didn't know any better. No, you try to be a good person always, but at the end of the day, of course, you know, you're going to change. But back to my definition, the only reason I think we need to define ourselves is for the comfort of other people. So like, if it was just me existing in a vacuum, I wouldn't feel the need to define myself at all. Not in this minute, not in the next minute. I'd be like, whatever, I'm just doing me. I'm just being whatever I'm being.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess the problem is other people. And like, I'm not like, oh, I don't care about identity. It's other people, because I am other people to you, for example. Mm-hmm. And basically,
and we are other people to other people, right?
Exactly. And it's hard, like, I give myself this free pass to be like, oh, whatever, I'm like water just flowing, my identity. But if I was going to be friends with you, like really good friends with you, where we're like a big part of each other's lives, or if I was going to like date you, you were like my boyfriend, I need to know who you are. Like, why am I committing to this
right
what am I committing to if you're not a solid thing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely done it in the past, and I probably still would do it now if I'm being honest, is that like you or I characterized you as a certain thing and then you started acting out of character, I'd be like, what's going on? you said right. You were this and now you're acting like this. Whereas if I did it, I'd be like, oh, I changed, you know, I'm different mm-hmm. now. And so that's why I just like find it is so fluid and I haven't figured it out. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to act around people that say there's something, but then like, you know, 6 months later, there's something else. It's fine. I'm not saying you should stay the same, but I struggle with it myself. Yeah. So even though I think you should be evolving all the time, I still struggle with it. Like I totally understand that need for comfort, the need to put a label on things and be like, this is this, I'm this, this is how we interact with each other in the world and society, you know?
So I agree. I think like you do end up changing, but it's like, how much do you change? But you don't flip the coin, right? Yeah. It's not like you go on the opposite side of the spectrum completely, unless you had like a life-changing event, yeah. right? A death or I don't know, hagakida hasalit, that completely changed your outlook and you completely became a different yeah. person. But it's more or less, it was progress to kida, adi.
Yeah, but you know what's open about it. A good thing, a good example of this, I live in the UK and like, I mean, drinking is a part of every culture one way or another, but it's a very, very big part of the culture here. Like every day after work, you go to the pub, you know, it's just such yeah. a big part of the culture.
Yeah, yeah, five.
Yeah, exactly. It's like tawabir outside, like yeah. it's crazy. But when people decide to do like dry January or whatever, or stop drinking mm-hmm. altogether, the reactions you get from people around you, that's not a big thing. That's a small change. And it is an evolution like that you might want to make to be sober, hatta for a month, not even for a lifetime. People feel so uncomfortable like when you change that because it's such a big part of your life, but it's a small change. So something like that is, you know, it's not a huge part of your identity, whether you drink or not, in my opinion. It's just something mm-hmm. that you do, but that makes people really uncomfortable. And that's like, that really highlights the problem. I think it's like, but what will we do together if you don't drink, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I know someone who was a drinker. She was a social drinker. She'd go out, Adi, and then she just stopped drinking. She decided she just didn't want to do it. Yeah. She tried it for like a month. She's like, I realized, you know, I have, I have the same amount of fun, if not more fun, being completely sober. And then the reactions that she was getting from people around her, eventually she ended up like not drinking for like a year, I think. Aisha Hayata. But the من الناس اللي حواليها, they're like, what, did something happen? Like, did you have a really bad like drunk experience? Or like, you know, it's like, no, dude, I just, you know, just didn't want to do it. I completely get your point. Sometimes it's literally just like, you know, a decision that you made yeah, and then people start thinking thing. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's just about making... Yeah, you need to define yourself to make other people feel comfortable and not you. And then, like, you start thinking, like, you know, evolution should be a smooth process. And like you said, it doesn't always have to happen because of, like, this major life event. Sometimes mm-hmm. it just happens, it's just a small thing. But, yeah, I think, I don't know, I think it's other people. And I'm other people, but I think it is other people that make it a little bit more difficult to, like, well, that create the need for you to identify with something or some set of whatever, you know? But yeah.
So what was it? I think we should talk about our childhoods and like little yeah. things that we went through.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you? You grew up in Egypt. So what was it like for you there?
Yeah. You know, what's really, I mean, because I know what's coming like from your side and I'm like full Egyptian, right? But you're half. And mm-hmm. so you would, this is, again, it really goes back to other people, is that I am full Egyptian. Yeah, I wasn't born in Egypt, but I grew up there up until I was 16, 17. So I grew up there for like my young self formative years. Mm. And I went to the same school as my friends, obviously. I went to the same nadi, you know, everything was exactly the same, but I still felt like I couldn't identify with them. And it was such a small thing. It was only because during the summers, I used to like vacation outside of Egypt because I have a lot of family outside of Egypt. So I would go see them. And purely because we didn't have that shared experience of you know, spending the summers together, going to the same places in the summer or anything outside of school. When we would go back to school every year, it felt like I needed to reintegrate into like this small community. We were like mm-hmm. so young, but you know, like I just was like, I don't know what happened in Sahel, or like, you know, stuff like that. And I did find that so difficult. But like, to walk you through a little bit more, like more adult, more what I think impacted me now, or the things that I look back at now and I'm like, oh my God, like, it was just, actually, I think you go with your story first, and then I'll go with this part. It's the part about like hair and skin. So we'll go into that after your story.
Okay, fine. You really want to, you really like me talking about this story.
I love this. I love her. And I've seen her recently, as you know. So I'm like, wow.
Right. So the story that F wants me to talk about is me being in the US. So I went there for kindergarten. And at the time, I was the only Arab kid in my entire school. You were talking from like kindergarten to 12th grade. I was the only Arab kid. And I was in KG1. So تخيلي واحدة كده عربية داخلة ما فيش أي حد شكله زيي. Especially كمان because of the media. وكده, I've literally just never been represented. وكمان جاية هنا مكان جديد and I really don't see myself. فطبعا I think that like, okay, white and blonde is beautiful. Even though في Hispanics وفي black people, في كل الناس, you know. But it's like, let's be real. You just grow up thinking, okay, I have to look white. I have to just be as white as possible. Right? وفair and lovely. بقى والكلام ده.
With a crayon and is that color in at school, yeah, you know?
The flesh color or whatever, yeah. Eliani. But that's not my flesh color. Yeah. So growing up there, so, you know, being there, it was just very interesting retrospectively seeing how I thought of myself. It was literally just self-hatred that was internalized, okay? Obviously, I didn't think that way when I was five, but seeing it is just like, whoa. So I was obsessed with Barbies, like obsessed. I still have my collection. I'm not obsessed now, but like I'm very proud of my collection. And of course, it was the original, you know, white blonde Barbie, right? She's the original one. ودي الجميلة ودي اللي عندها كان, you know, كان أحبها هي مش أحب حد تاني. So my parents wanted me to diversify my collection. And they took me out one day. This was like positive reinforcement. So buying me a Barbie, don't do that to your kids. But see, this was like one of them. So then they're like, oh, so why don't you buy one of these other Barbies? Can feel like Christy or Christina. Can feel like an Asian American Barbie. It's important to say Asian American, mish Asian. Asian American Barbie. Can Teresa or Christy. I don't really remember. As far as I know, it was Teresa who was back then, I guess, she was like the African American one. Maybe she was the Latina one. I'm not sure. And she looked more like me than Barbie. Okay. And the Asian American one. So my parents thought that I should just buy Teresa. You know, she looks more like me. And that was their argument. And I was like, no, but that's the whole point. I don't want someone that looks like me. I want Barbie because I want to be white and blonde. And they're like, but you're not. And I'm like, but I will be. Like,
oh,
my God. will be. My friend's gonna dye my hair blonde, you know. I would draw myself a stick figure, like myself stick figure with that flesh color that's not my flesh, and with blonde hair and blue eyes, you know. It's like, in what world, Danny?
No one knows. People listening don't know what we both look like, I guess, but
I don't look like Barbie.
Dean looks like the poster child for like what we're talking about, basically what this episode is about. And I'm the same, but I think we're both very dark features, very dark features, quite dark skin.
And you're growing up, I have very thick eyebrows, and now it's like the cool thing.
I think,
you know,
you're so cool. I want your eyebrows now.
I was literally born with thick eyebrows, okay? I had to pluck my eyebrows at such a young age because I had bushes, okay? And like this wavy, curly, confused hair. When I say confused, اللي عنده confused hair, هيفهم what kind of hair I have.
The same. I have exactly the same. We'll get into that in a second.
So yeah, so they make me buy Teresa, who looks more like me, even though I didn't want her. And then fast forward a few days later, my mom walks into my room and she finds like hair all over my carpet. And she follows the trail I'm playing very innocently, huh? With Ken and Barbie, Marafshe. And then she follows the trail. She finds Teresa under the bed. شرام تنتف كده قصيته. And she's not wearing any clothes. كده سايبها تحت السرير رمياها. And my mom picks her up. She's like, what happened to Teresa? يعني, why is she here? في إيه? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't want her. I don't like her. and you made me get her and a Barbie best to Barbie original, you know, I went crazy. And Mohammed, they went and bought me another one, you know, because they're another, like, okay, another one. Yeah. And they're like, well, any main fashion time, maybe I get a tanny. Okay. This is not humane. And she looks more like you, pretend she's you. And I'm like, geez, it's self-hatred. It's actually self-hatred.
You were doing that to yourself, basically.
Yeah. So that was like my first encounter, I guess, with that. But really feeling, but yeah, no, I won't even get into like current me because it's, you know, growing up and childhood. So yeah. you go. I really want to hear about your, you know, keratin and
yeah. No, this is the thing. It's because now that you've said, like, I don't want to get into now and what I'm like now, but the thing is, it's not like I had this like epiphany and realization and now I think like white people are ugly or something. No, I think they're beautiful, but I think we're beautiful too. And when I was younger, I didn't feel that way. So I used to swim and I was good. I was quite good. And I used to have practice like in the middle of the day. Bordo, I think that's a little bit harsh. I just want to say like 1 p.m. in Egypt in the middle of summer, like you shouldn't do that either. And like when you're in the pool, you don't get a nice bronze tan, you know, it's very like, yeah, it's matte, بالضبط مطفية. And I remember I used to like have arguments with my mom about like, I don't want to be black. Like, I just don't want to be black. And now I'm like, first of all, I'm dying to get a tan nowadays. Like, because,
me too.
Because and we've talked about this before, like, I feel more myself when I'm darker.
I feel just so because, healthy.
Yeah, I grew up somewhere where it's sunny year round. So my natural, not even like summer tan, but my natural base color was much darker. I live in the UK now and I love it here, but the weather and my skin tone don't like it so much. Yeah. But yeah, so basically I used to like, and it's so like now in hindsight, I'm like, it's so ridiculous. Like you're giving up this talent you have or, you know, something that's like so good for you, exercise or whatever, because you don't like how it affects your hair and the you know, the chlorine didn't help my hair either. We'll get into that as well. It's just like made it so frizzy and dry and more curly than it was. And I'm like so dark to the point where I convinced my mom to get me Fair and Lovely. And I'm so ashamed. I mean, I didn't know any better, so it's fine. But at the time, I'm so ashamed. I'm like, are you serious? Whitening creams? Like, what year is this? But I just hated it. And now I recognize that as self-hate and internalized racism, by the way, towards black people, because I'm not black. And I don't want to look like them, basically. That's exactly what it is. But at the time...
Let's be honest, like, no. Let's call ourselves out.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be like them. I didn't explicitly think that. But at the same time, that's exactly what I was doing. And it's the same with hair. I don't want my hair to be that curly. You know what I mean? And I don't know now I know more about like there's numbers like 3C and all that. So I don't know.
I just learned about this, Bartu.
Yeah, but there's a limit to how curly I will let my hair get. You know, like there's like this invisible line that I won't let it get past. And I used to get, I remember when I discovered like keratin treatments, I just felt so beautiful. My hair is like soft and beautiful. And I was like, yeah, I don't mind swimming now because it's fine, you know, as long as there's a solution to counteract what's happening. And actually during lockdown, my hair, I get it regularly. And I don't tell people as well, which is a little bit weird. Like I never tell people that my hair is like chemically straightened basically. And it's not straight, you know, it just takes the frizz away, but it definitely makes it more straight. You know, it's not as curly. And I forgot for a period of time, I forgot how curly my hair was. And during lockdown, obviously I couldn't do it. I mean, I do it like once every, twice a year, basically once every 6 months, masala. But I hadn't done it in a while. You know, it's not something like I keep on top of religiously. So by the end of lockdown here in the UK, my hair was curly. Like it was curly.
How did you feel looking at yourself in the mirror?
I was like, is my hair really? I was like lying to myself. Like I would like blow dry it. I'd be like, oh yeah, this is on my hair. I'm like, no, it's not what your hair looks like, you know? And it's like, it's so crazy. Like I don't even know what I actually look like. And I got it done 2 weeks ago again. I can't lie. I had to. I don't know. I just don't like it. And I don't know if it's just like, again, internalized racism, internalized like self-hate that I haven't unpacked yet, or I just prefer my hair this way because like, briefly shout out basically Ali Amoro who wrote The Greater Freedom.
Is it? Yeah, great freedom? Book. Yeah, The Greater Freedom.
Yeah, it is a great book. And she just recently I mean, I like follow her religiously, basically. I listen to like any podcast she's on, anything like that. And she was just saying that like she prefers herself. This was more about like, you know, more like more about gender, more about like feminism and or not feminism, but, you know, female presenting people, basically. And she was saying she prefers herself waxed, like hairless, and she likes how she looks with a blow dry. And that's fine. As long as you've like, I mean, you do whatever you want, but like, as long as you've like, I guess, analyzed
it. Unpacked the intention behind it.
Yeah. You're doing it because you want to do it. That's fine. And I think this is it, but I don't know. I will get back to you guys at a later episode on what this is.
You do. Yeah. Speaking of hair, Yanni, growing up, mainly from my grandma, Alarhamah, but again, it's like, oh, but she's like old, you know, it was a different time that she lived in. كل ما تشوفني وانا شعري شعري كده طيب انا شعري منفوش في volume في curls and waves وما اعرف شيء تقول لي انت ليه مش بتسرحي شعرك؟ طب انا لو سرحته بجد هيبقى منكوش. ان يعني انت بتقولي كده شعري منكوش انا بجد لو سرحته هيبقى منكوش. انا كده شعري اعمل ايه؟
100%
like hate your hair, and I hate myself. And personally, again, a personal preference, I do not like straightening my hair. I don't like how I look with straight hair.
Same.
I got used to volume. If I can't have something stuck to my head,
yeah, no, I'm exactly the same. I can never have like straight hair. Like I never actually. I think this is why I like it as well, because it is my hair, but tamer. I don't like when I have curly hair and I need to do something to manage it. I'm like doing air quotes. You guys can't see me, but yeah, to manage it. It's too straight. Like I'm not a professional. I never, ever used to blow dry my hair. If I don't know how to do it properly. You know what I mean? So I end up with straight hair and then just belimo. Like I put it in a bun because it's like, this isn't what I look like. This isn't the image. Like, mm-hmm. And it's like just going back to the identity point. Like I wear glasses, but I never wear them. And sometimes I'm just like squinting all over them because I'm like, this isn't what I look like in my head. You know what I mean?
Ah, yeah.
And like a small point, Bordeaux, I was fat when I was younger and I hated it. And I was like, but this isn't what it's not me. This isn't what I look like. And it's just, I don't know. It's for me to explore. And I guess for you That's guys so to think about what is... Like, what do you look like? What does someone with my personality look like is interesting. And it's nice now because like that you have, I'm sorry that I'm saying this and I don't mean it to offend anyone at all. I'm just talking about my younger, slightly heavier self. Is that it's nice that you have all these cool people that don't all look like so skinny and like perfect, I guess, in a way. What is perfect? Nothing's perfect, but you know what I mean? Because when I was younger, the reason I thought this isn't what I look like is because I was like, oh, look, I have a cool personality like this person and this person is skinny. So therefore, I can't be fat. But now there are fat people that are cool. So I'm like, OK, I could be fat and cool. You know what I mean? So it's just maybe as an adult, you can make those decisions. But as a child, you need to see someone that looks like you. You need to. Your mind isn't developed enough to be like, I could be my own person and stuff. No, you need representation. Right. It's really important. And that applies for like race, gender expression specifically. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, body image, whatever.
So I want to go back to something so interesting that you said, like this expectation of who you are in your head. And like, I don't know why when you said that, I linked it to like stereotypes, right? Because كل واحد برضو عنده expectation of like, when you say that you're from a place or whatever, they look at you, they assume something about you, في expectation في الموضوع. And that could be detrimental maybe. Oh, it could be annoying, بس من الآخر for the طرف الآخر. Just to make a point, like مثلا لما حد يسألني أنا, where are you from? Like that, I hate that question. Or I used to hate it for like the longest time because it's like, it depends on who's asking me, right? How am I going to respond? What's my mood today? What do I want to say? It's like, do I say I'm mixed? But then I don't want to go into like the whole history of it. So I'll just say one thing. So مثلا, let's say I never say I'm Saudi. I always say I'm Egyptian. And they'll be like, oh, but you don't look Egyptian. Like there's a look apparently that I don't have. I don't know what that means. Oh, I don't look Saudi. I really don't know what I'm supposed to look like. Do I look like me? And then مثلا, okay, you're Egyptian. أنا بحب الكشري قوي لما رحت مصر ما عرف شيء أكلت كشري. Like there's a stereotype. أنا مصرية. أنا بأكل كشري. وما اعرفش فيك حاجات كده معينه عند الناس انه stereotype مصري okay that we've internalized but as Egyptians and yeah. If we're inferior مثلا that's like a whole other topic يعني but like kushari, okay? And then they go on a rant about how much they love kushari and هم راحوا ايه كشري التحرير ولا ما اعرفش اسمه ايه ده اللي مشهور قوي بتاع كشري.
Yeah, كشري التحرير.
And then I tell them, well, I don't eat kushari, you know, and they're like, ايه ده بس انت كده مش مصريه, like why is me eating kushari linked to me being Egyptian? طب انت دلوقتي اكلت كشري وانت مش مصري, يعني what's the big deal? But then I feel like I have to justify that I am Egyptian, like I have to prove my Egyptianness. So then I say, oh, بس انا باكل فطير, you know, it's like I shouldn't have to prove it. انا مصريه, انا حاسه من جوه بجد, طب انا مصريه بس انا برضو I'm not مصريه, I'm nothing, right? I'm both and I'm neither and I'm something. Yeah. مع نفسي. And I don't know why I feel the need to, like, and I hate it when I see that someone has a stereotype, I have to break it down, like I have to break it for them, like I don't fit that mold that you have in your head.
Yeah.
كده أنا عنيدة من الناحية دي. I don't know. I just have this. I hate it.
No, I found like growing up وحتى recently, as soon as someone wants to label me, I find myself rebelling against it. Even if I don't want to do that thing, I'm just like, no, I'm going to do it just because I want to do the opposite of what you think I'm going to do. But to your point about like, I guess, people of different, like of a different nationality saying about the kushari thing here in London, always like when I can't cross, not now so much, but like when I first moved here, when I couldn't cross the street, like jaywalk. Obviously now I've lived in London for like 8 years, I jaywalk all the time. It's like just what you do, no one waits for the green light. But anyways, why don't you how can you not cross the street, you're Egyptian? I never walk in the street in Egypt. I don't know who you think, like we're like about 100 million people. Anna and my direct circle, I get in the car, I get to a place, I get back in the car, I go home. I never ever walk except if it's to my car, you know.
So it's just like in very specific areas that, yeah, are closed, like compounds.
Images they have of like crazy traffic and people running across the street, like come on, like not everyone's gonna be like that. And there are so many different versions of being Egyptian, just like there's so many different, it's like you said about the quilt, Yanni. I am the intersection of all the elements that make me who I am. And so I'll pick and choose what I want from, mish explicitly, but it has happened that basically my personality was formed like natural selection, you know, whatever works best with the other combination of things that I am will stay and the rest won't. So I don't know. I mean, like, of course, yeah, fine. It's all like fun when you're like, oh, well, I mean, when I see someone from China, and I've been to China and I love China, I'll be like, oh yeah, I ate this when I was there. But I'm not like, do you like it? Like, I don't know. I don't care if you like it. That's not really what we're talking about right now. So yeah,
so,
I get it.
So living, because you said you live in, well, she said, I know, obviously, you live in London. I don't know why. Anyway, you live in London, obviously. So how do you say your name? Because you have, like, my name, well, no one knows my name. Those who know me know my name. My name is relatively easy to pronounce, but also, like, in the U.S., they love to make it very Latin for some reason.
Yeah.
But typically, it's, like, easy to pronounce. I don't have to change
it.
But, like, Muhammad, مثلا, هيقول my name is Muhammad or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So do you do that? And then, like, what is, why do you do that? I'm not calling you out, but I'm just wondering, Annie.
Anglicize, is the word anglicize?
I'm not sure.
Don't know. English. I make it English, basically, is what I'm trying to say. I don't pronounce it in a... The thing is, my name's not that hard. There's like a ha or a ha in it, or like pick a letter that basically doesn't exist in the English language. I have one or two of those in my name. And it's not that hard. It's not at a beginning. It shouldn't be that hard, but they're like, مثلاً, this is the thing though. It's like if you pronounce the R, which is a letter that they have different, so it's not liquid, it's not a liquid R. I don't know which one of them is liquid, but you know what I mean? Like, not the Arabic R.
It's
actually enunciating the R. As soon as you say that, even if it's like Sara, and you're not saying like Sara, you're like Sara.
Or Sarah.
Yeah, they're like, huh?
They're so confused.
I'm like, what's so difficult about it? And like, to be honest, I do pronounce it in English, and we've spoken about this we've spoken about this recently, and I don't know, I tried tea for a couple of days to pronounce it right. Just so many people are like, huh, wait, how do you spell it, how do you pronounce it? And to be honest, the honest answer of why I do that is that I can't be bothered and I don't really care for you to pronounce my name correctly.
The whole thing, you want to bypass,
I don't care, I don't really care, honestly. And it's like, I don't know, it's complicated. If we're gonna go, like, if we're gonna get deep with this topic, should I be pronouncing my name the way it should be pronounced to kind of pave the way for other people so it's more normalized and people know that these names exist and look, you should be pronouncing my name this way and this name is pronounced this way? Or I'm just lazy, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm not like trying to make waves here. Most of the time, sometimes if someone's interested, we're having a conversation where it's relevant, I'll be like, actually, this is how you pronounce my name. Actually, I have a friend from boarding school that is so nice, such a great guy. And he always pronounced my name correctly without me asking from the first day we met. He asked me twice, probably, how you pronounce it. And I told him, and Mensaita, he never got it wrong. He's the only person that actually made an effort without me saying anything, I guess. And so yeah, I guess, I like that's the right thing. That's the right way to
be. I like
that
a lot, because there's like this reciprocation between you guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's trying.
Yeah, he's from Hong Kong, and I call him, but he has an English name and he grew up in America and he goes by his English name. But I know his Chinese name and I can pronounce it perfectly. It's just not really used. He doesn't go by it, so that's different. But yeah, I mean, yeah, reciprocity is a good word here.
Yeah, lazim. I think that's, you know, I don't know, this will take me to this like idea of language and westernization. You know what I mean? And how احنا دايما بناخد westernization من الاخر, Americanization, like, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Mainly we're taking their content and it's their language that we're all learning. I'm not saying it's bad. It's great that it's like a global language, right? At least there's a language that we can all speak so we can all understand each other. That's wonderful. But at the same time, it shouldn't just be one way. It's a one-way street for the most part. In terms of like language, in terms of representation in like TV shows, كل حاجة. Not even represented correctly, like, let's be honest, except like home, any asy for the West, لما هم بيعملوا a show ويدخلونا فيه, it's not right. That's just like one aspect, and we're always terrorists. ودايما كده ما بنعرفش نتكلم انجليزي كويس. It's like, طب في ناس بتعرف عادي, يعني في كل
ولا بنعرف نتكلم عربي كويس, by the way.
ولا حاجة. They never even get Arab actors. ايوه, shout out. But also like shout out to Rami, right? Because show is great. I love that show, and he got backlash for you know, not representing all Arabs, but he's representing, you know, a portion, and he's representing himself. That's one story, and it's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah,
if you haven't watched Rami, watch it.
Yeah, it's great. It's such a good show, and I enjoyed it so much. And even though I don't have the same experience, like, don't think I've ever been to a mosque unless it's been as a tourist, probably, like a tourist attraction.
Sheikh Zayed Mosque.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We need to talk about that. But like, to Rami for one second. Rami. I'm just going to say, I was like, also pronouncing his name in English now. But anyways, yeah, back to that point. Halia Moro again. I'm going to send her this episode. I'm going to be like, we talked about you so much. I'm like her biggest fan. Anyways. Is that she mentioned like, and it's exactly what he said, and it's exactly what we're saying as well. We're not trying to talk or speak on behalf of the entire Arab experience, or on behalf of every single woman, or on behalf of every single Arab woman, or on behalf of anyone but ourselves. All we're saying is that you could probably, if you have something in common with us, you're probably going to find something to relate to. And what Alia said that was so important is that don't come at her, basically, or Rami, or anyone that's telling their story and be like, no, this doesn't represent me. خلاص, does it represent you? You go and write your own story, which is basically what we're doing here. They didn't represent us, which is fine, by the way. I really, really enjoyed watching and reading their stories. But we're also ready to share our stories, and we hope you can relate to some people, and hopefully eventually we'll have like a big library of stories that is as big as like American American stories. And I want that for everyone. I want that for every single quote unquote different. And I say different relative to America, which I hate myself for, because everything like normal is America, basically, or the West, or, you know, whatever. Like pop culture is very obviously like centered around the specific type of person. That's not us, like if we're being honest. So, yeah, I think that was like just important disclaimer. This is our story. And I hope some of the people listening to this go and tell their story as well through different mediums as well.
Yeah, create content. I think it's so important because there wasn't any content or any good or relatable content coming out of, our region for the longest time. And now I'm so proud that, like, Mesa Netflix, Ba'afi shows or movies, Arabi, that's wonderful. And shows and movies that actually represent me. And في مسلسلات كتير مصريين مسلسلات مصرية. This just doesn't resonate with me. طيب, this is not my life, you know?
Yeah.
And then, exactly. It's stereotyped and know that this is how it is. This is not how it is. This is not representational. This does not represent everyone in the country.
I think influencers, I don't know what the correct word is, because I know influencer can come with a lot of like bad connotation, but influencers really, I love people like Karen Wesen. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. That's why I'm like struggling.
Yeah, Karen Wesen. I like Dana Khorani come in.
Dana Khorani, I love her. She's so creative and cool.
Yeah.
I love Rania Fawaz, Dima Sheikhli, I think. The reason I can't pronounce it is not because it's Arabic, by the way. It's only because they're on Instagram and I never actually talk about them like in real life. So I'm like, how do you read their handle, basically? All of these people, like, I'm so happy. I still consume content from people that don't look like me, but it's nice. You know, it's nice when I see someone that looks like me wearing an outfit, wearing makeup. I don't really wear makeup, but you know what I mean? Like just doing stuff a certain way. And I can see myself in them and be like, okay, I'm going to go, you know, wear this outfit this way. Or, oh, look, I can take a picture like this because she looks exactly like me. I'm not going to look absolutely ridiculous. You know, stuff like that. I think it's really positive and I enjoy it so much. Like, I'm so happy. It's like one of those things that happen that you never knew you needed, but now that they've happened, you're like, this is so amazing. And all the Arab designers, all of that is really great in my opinion.
I think you made a great point. And حتى الناس اللي هم, they don't look like you, like مثلا following أجانب or whatever. Yeah. حتى following Arab that don't necessarily represent your ideas or whatever. I think it's so important to open yourself up to different perspectives. Mm-hmm. This is how you start this reciprocity or reciprocation between each other. You know, you should be very open to reading books that don't agree with, that don't like solidify your opinion about something. You should totally listen to different people and their experiences. This is how you become a global citizen, in my opinion, not just by learning like one language and all of us are thinking the same, because then that's very just homogenous. And that is what is a threat to culture.
Yeah.
The threat to culture isn't, you know, being nuanced. The threat to culture is being homogenous.
100%. I mean, like for me, for a very long time, I don't know. It's also because of where we grew up, I guess. I did not like explicitly, visibly religious people of any religion, by the way, not just Muslims, any religion. And then I like had to kind of check myself and be like, wait, you want your freedom and they deserve their freedom and you're not right and they're wrong and vice versa. We're both right. I mean, I don't, whatever, like whatever you believe in, sort of like God, evolution, whatever, we can't all be the same. There are so many different versions and expressions of humanity or creation in general. And that's how life works. Like it wouldn't work if we were all exactly the same person. And that's what I would say to super religious people that want us all to be like, you know, like walking the straight and narrow path, not doing anything outside of like that very, very specific box they want to put you in.
Or but their also, idea of what that specific box is.
Or people, I'm going to say people like us, and I just mean like, I'm going to use the word liberal, and I'm sure we're going to get into this on a different episode. Like, oh, when people ask, are you religious and stuff like that? But let's not talk about that now because I have so much to say on that topic. I don't want everyone to be like me either. I want you to just do you know, like just do what you want as long as you're not hurting other people, basically. And that's how society like will be like will reach its full potential, I feel, you know. Yeah.
I think Burdu, just don't stereotype other people at all, so that, because you don't want to be stereotyped, right? Mm-hmm. So why would you do the same, even just making like these racist jokes or whatever that you think are harmless, or but you are stereotyping someone else might be making the same joke about you, you know, and stereotyping you, and you wouldn't like that at all.
Yeah, so I don't know if we have enough time, but I feel like you should I don't know, you tell me if we have enough time, you should tell your story about the hospital. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
That's such a, like, such a very good, like, it's a very good example of the negative effects of stereotyping to that extreme. Right.
I can talk about it because then it could be a good segue to, like, the next question as well.
Yeah.
So when I was in the States, I had, like, a really bad, yeah, I just have an allergy. I have a really bad allergy towards something. Okay. And then it presented itself as pneumonia, apparently. Like, when you take an x-ray, it looks like pneumonia. And these American doctors were telling my parents, like, yeah, she has severe pneumonia. She's not going to make it through the night, blah, blah, blah. And they kept thinking, like, they were hypothesizing that it's because we're Arab. وحنا جايين من برا, maybe I contracted some disease that is very specific to, you know, Egypt or Saudi or whatever. جايبه هولهم, you know. And then, obviously, I lived to see the next day, yani, to see the light. And it happened again, like, the weekend after. I went back to the hospital, but this time there was a Lebanese intern. And she said, oh, okay, let me just check the x-ray. And then she was like, oh, but usually allergies can present themselves as, you know, pneumonia in an x-ray. So why don't we just do it, have an allergy test? So the minute they put that specific thing on my back for that specific thing that I'm allergic to, I had like a really severe reaction. And that's when they knew I'm severely allergic to this, you know, thing. So it had nothing to do with me being Arab or bringing some disease. So they completely diagnosed me wrong and told my parents I was going to die. Like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's, and like, this isn't to dismiss the fact that you need to be aware of someone's like background, ethnicity, race, of course, but just don't let it like cloud your judgment and like completely, you know, obstruct your vision as to what, you know, this is a person that happens to be Arab. It's not an Arab. That's also, by the way, human being.
It's just
being
one element
whatever.
Of me being this person. Which brings me to the next question, which is, because we keep saying Arab, do you identify as Arab? And like, what does it mean to you to be Arab?
Yes and no. I do identify as being Arab because I speak Arabic and nothing makes me laugh as much as Arabic jokes do. I'm going to be honest. They're just better. They are just different. Jokes about Arab dads, especially our parents, especially. Shout out to the meme shop, I think. Yeah, meme shop. I don't know why I'm forgetting everyone's Insta handle just now, but I'll get better. Anyways, it's really, so in that, like, in the cultural sense, some aspects of culture, yes, I do, but no, because I'm Egyptian, and I feel like Egypt has been ostracized from Arabs. Like, I feel like it's called the Arab Republic of Egypt. For a long time, we were Arabs, but now the focus is kind of on, like, the GCC, so, like, you know, Dubai, Saudi, you know, like the Gulf region. I don't feel like, sometimes, like, I don't know, I feel a way, I feel the need to like caveat. I'm like, are you Arab? Yeah, I am Arab, but I'm Egyptian. Mm-hmm. I'm not Arab. I'm not, you know, from the desert. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I do. I guess I do and I don't. It's really hard. I'm going to go back to my fluid card. I'm going to pull out the fluid card.
No, that's how I identify. Yeah, I do identify as Arab, mainly, like you said, because of the language. Even though I don't speak it well, Oyani, you know, people are obviously going to come at us for, like, you know, being bilingual, having a bilingual podcast or not speaking properly, but whatever, we're doing us. You go do you. So, yeah, Arabic, I don't identify with Arabic music. Illa Umm Kulthum and Abdul Halim Hafiz, but I don't identify with any of this recent stuff. But I listen to the recent stuff just to be in the loop.
You have to. Egyptian weddings are the best, and you need to.
Yeah, they are the best.
You need to, because I don't listen to it either. But I also have like a prep for a wedding playlist where I'm just like, what's the latest, so I can like vibe with my friends at the wedding. Basically,
but that's it. That's what, you know. What is it? The language and like partly music, not really. Mainly what makes me Arab, you know, I try to strip it down as much as possible. So it's like, what am I carrying with me wherever I go, right? It should be something like, I'm Arab, it should be something inherent in me. But also I'm not, right? Whatever, it's complicated. It's complicated, that's the halas, the conclusion. But mainly at the end of the day, it's about the values and how you're treating other people. فالمفروض إحنا العرب, you know, في الضيافة والكرم وال, you know, this generosity and friendliness, كل الحاجات دي, that we do carry with us, and sharing اللمة دي مهمة قوي عندنا والأكل وكل ده. This is what I think makes us Arab, and this is what I think doesn't make us Arab, only makes us human and connect to other people on that level. You know, I don't have to, مش إنو عادات وتقاليد دي مش عادات وتقاليدنا, لا, I don't care about that at all. في حاجات, yes, for sure, but that's not how I operate, you know? It's not like I have to hold on to something
so strongly.
Only if
it resonates with you.
Yeah, and if it's like serving me at this point in time, you know, it's working right now for me. And if it doesn't, then that's not serving me at all, يعني. خلاص, on a human level, that's how I operate. And I think, yeah, it's just more peaceful.
To your point about karam and like generosity, when people ask me what Egypt's like, because like, they're always like, isn't it dangerous? I'm like, oh, Egypt, most beautiful country in the world, the beach, amazing. They're like, oh, but isn't it dangerous? And I'm like, it's as dangerous as anywhere at this point in time. Everywhere is dangerous, to be honest. But when they ask me what it's like, I say like just Egyptian people in general, if someone has like literally one loaf of bread to their name, like literally that is all they have, that is the food that they have for like the foreseeable, they don't know where their next meal is coming from, they will share that small loaf of bread with you, half for you, half for them. Like they are, yeah, I think that's like how I feel. Like being Egyptian to me, stripped down, of course there's a lot of nuances, there's a lot of different things, but like stripped down to the like the bare minimum, it is that. Like if I had the smallest thing and nothing else, I would share it with you, basically. That's what I feel like being Egyptian is, really. I don't know. That's not being Arab, but it's being Egyptian, which is kind of Arab, I guess.
I think it's just being a good person, Kiman, at the end of the day. And this way you just connect to people from different backgrounds. I don't know. You just open yourself up more to the world and to other people. Literally, just like, do you and have let other people do whatever the hell they want. You know what I mean?
No,
so
it's
like
so it true. I feel like we talked about a lot of things and then we wrapped up in that, like, we don't know. You just do you. But like, I hope this is going to be the format pretty much. I mean, we have some strong opinions on some topics that are probably going to be in the next episode or like definitely in the next couple of episodes. We do have strong, very formed opinions, but mostly I think this will be the format, right? Like we're just here for a conversation and we hope you join in on the conversation, but it's not to educate. It's just to discuss. I mean, hopefully we learn some stuff along the way and you learn with us. But it's, you know, this isn't like, we're not preaching anything. We're just having a conversation because we feel we need to be having more conversations. And don't know if I've already mentioned this, but basically we were talking about the fact that I just, because you're in Saudi at the moment, basically. So you see, when you open your podcast app, you see all the regional sort of podcasts. And I had no idea about them until we started doing a bit of research for this podcast. And at first when I found them, I was so excited. I'm binging Yalla Bye right now, basically. And I was so excited. And then I was kind of upset. I was like, oh, but people are already talking about it. And like, oh, what are we going to add? But like, then I got excited again because like of that whole, like, if you don't feel you're being represented, write your own version of events kind of things.
That's what we're doing.
You talk about yourself. So this is exactly what we're doing. This is our story. If you want to come kind of listen to us talk, interact with us on Instagram, you know, like just let us know or email us or anything. We'll probably put this wherever you put stuff, like in the description kind of. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We tried to make it as concise as possible. It's this is what we could do. So we hope you had fun listening to us talk. and stay till the end.
If you're hearing this, then well done for sticking
bravo
with
gold
us
star.
Yeah,
so yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, bye.